Good morning. It's a good day. It's been a good weekend. I hope and trust that you had a good weekend with your family over Thanksgiving. It's the time of year that we just cannot help but thinking about the things that we've been given, the things that we're thankful for. You know, if you're like me, this time of year, you're thankful for just the standard things to start with, things like my family. Thankful for my church family. Thankful for my health. Thankful that we have a roof over our heads and a warm bed to sleep in at night, clothes on our back, food in our stomach, food in the pantry. Thankful we live in a free country. And on and on. Thankful that I have a great job. And there's the list just goes and goes and goes. This morning, I want you to look with me. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12, 7. This morning, I want us to notice something maybe we've never thought to be thankful for. Never thought to be thankful for something like weakness. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul says, and he says this on the heels of God took Paul up to heaven and let Paul see things that people don't see. And Paul says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me. You know, we're coming up on Christmas time. If anyone else's kids making lists already? I mean, my kids have the paper and the pen, and I mean, they're at it. They're planning. They're planning for their requests. Paul says, God gave me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. So God gave Paul a thorn. Paul doesn't tell us what the thorn is. People have speculated through the years, you know, what's Paul talking about? This was a major problem in his life. He says he pleaded with God to take it away. Some think it was Paul's eyesight. And we have evidence in Scripture that Paul was losing his eyesight. Some think it was the Jews that were always persecuting him. They were chasing him, trying to kill him, stone him multiple times, beat him severely, imprison him. So some think it was that, and some think maybe it was the struggle of being single. And it may have been something else, we don't know. But it was painful. It was a thorn. It was annoying. It was frustrating. Anyone here relate to having a thorn in the flesh? Anyone have something in your life, a struggle, an irritation, something ongoing? I mean, some of you are nudging each other, you know, looking down the road. That's all right. Maybe a coworker, a boss, maybe a physical ailment that this just won't go away. I can't get beyond this. And Paul says he pleaded with God. New American Standard says implored. King James says besought. This means beg. Paul begged God. Paul says, I begged. I pleaded. There's a difference between asking and begging. Jesus in the garden on his knees with sweat dropping off his forehead like drops of blood, Jesus is not asking God. He's begging God. Paul says, I begged God three times. And Paul gets his answer. Verse 9, he said to me, God, so God answers, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The word sufficient, New Century translates this enough. And the words from the Greek word archeo, and it carries the meaning of contentment. And God's saying, I'm enough. My grace is enough. It's the same root word that we find in Hebrews 13, 5, where Scripture says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content, archeo, with what you have. Be content. God's answer is, my grace is enough. You can be content with that. It is enough. And then God says, my power is made perfect. My power, from the Greek word dunamis, it's where we get the word dynamite. It's not a little power, it's a lot of power. God says, my power is made perfect. My power is made perfect. And this is from the Greek word teleo, and it means to bring something to completion. It's not just, God isn't just saying, my power will be enough, my power will get you through, my power will help you get by. But it's, this Greek word means to bring to completion. If it were talking about taxes, this word teleo would mean to pay taxes. If it were talking about laws, it would mean to obey laws. If it were talking about prophecies, it would mean for them to be fulfilled. If it were talking about a person's life, it would mean the end of a life, or life completed, or a person who's died. If it was a mission, it would mean to complete the mission, brought to completion. God says, my grace is enough, it's sufficient, for my power is brought to completion. It's made perfect in your weakness. God's power is brought to completion through our weakness. That's a weird thought, isn't it? God's going to do His best, complete work. He'll finish His work in your weakness, through your weakness. It may sound weird, but remember Matthew 5:3? Blessed are the poor in spirit. I mean, we live in a world that says, blessed are the strong in spirit. Blessed are the rich. Blessed are the able. Blessed are the powerful. That's the world we live in. And God says it's the opposite. Remember, Jesus told His apostles, whoever wants to be first should be last and a servant. Remember Matthew 18:3, unless you turn and become like, Jesus didn't say become like warriors. He said become like children. Weak, humble. And so reading on, Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You have to admit, this is an odd passage of Scripture here. Paul's talking about something that's wonderful, and the whole time he's talking about it, it doesn't sound wonderful, right? Calamities, hardships, persecution. Aren't these the things we pray for God to remove? Anybody prayed a prayer this week? God, help me with this. I don't like it. It's weak. It's a struggle. It's hard. It's not easy. And Paul says, I brag about these things. I boast about them. The word in the ESV is content. Other versions say I delight or I take pleasure. So Paul's saying I'm content with weaknesses. I delight in weaknesses. I take pleasure in weaknesses. I am thankful for weaknesses. Thankful for weaknesses. When's the last time you thank God because of your weakness or your struggle or hardship or things weren't easy or you had to do without something? And you said, God, I wished I had this, but I don't. I'm having to do without. Somebody here in the next couple weeks, the heater will break on your car and you'll drive to work a few days and it's cold and you'll do without. Now, who in their right mind would thank God for that? But when you finish this passage, when you really understand this, you can say, God, I thank you. I thank you that I don't have everything I want. That I don't have everything I may think I need. Remember, this is not just one obscure passage in the Bible. I want to show you two more real quick. But I must admit, it's easy to look at these and say, boy, that just sounds like church. That's just a church answer. You know, consent like one in James 1:2. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. I mean, that just sounds churchy, right? Yeah, you know, I mean, when it's tough, hey, thank God for it. But really, let it soak in the fact that James, not only does he say be joyful when you meet trials, but understand he's not saying count it all joy when you overcome trials. This isn't the person who looks back on their trial when it's over and says, you know, I wouldn't have it any different. And that's a powerful statement. I'm not taking away from that. I've heard many people go through things that I would not want to go through. My humanness says I would not want to go through what they went through. And on the end of it, when they're okay, when it's over, they say, you know, I wouldn't change it. Now, that's a powerful statement. But that's not what this is saying. The Bible's not saying count it joy when you overcome. It's saying count it joy when you meet it. You meet the trial. Romans 5:3, not only that, but we rejoice not after our sufferings, in our sufferings. There was one morning that I got a call, and a married couple was in crisis. Their marriage was, according to them, at the time it was over. One was loading their items in their vehicle to leave, and it was over. And they called for me to come over and help facilitate. And so I did, and as I'm driving to their house, I'm praying the whole way. God, we need help here. We need help, God. We need you to rescue this. And I get to their house, and I keep praying, talking with one of them, and then we get to the point where they can both come in the same room, sit down and talk, and be frustrated at each other and share and go back and forth with the things they're frustrated at each other about. And they're talking and I'm praying. God, we need you to save this. And I pray, and once in a while I would say something or ask something or clarify something. I just keep praying. I felt weak. And I feel odd saying that, because the truth is I'm always weak. Me, right? Just me. But I did, and I prayed and kept praying. And then me and the husband left for a while, and we talked, and I kept praying. Came back, talked more, kept praying. Things started to look bad at one moment. And I thought, God, this isn't going well. This is not going in a good way. And then there was a breakthrough. And it was huge. And everything started going the right way. And I kept praying. And I know that day God rescued that marriage. I didn't rescue it. I didn't think I could anyway. God does so many of the things we might think we do. I was there to help God. You ever seen a child helping their parent? This is Easton helping. Right? We pray sometimes and we think, God, I need your help. And the truth is, no, we need to pray, God, I need you and I'll help you. I'll help you. We help God like a child helps their parent, right? That's how we help God. We need God's power to work to completion in our weakness, and God will help. Will help. Don't you think God looks at us like this? And we think we're doing something. And God says, you're doing so good. And we have no idea God's doing it. Why is it that our weaknesses are something to be thankful for? And the answer is because only in our weaknesses do we beg God. It's only when we're weak that we beg God. And it's only when we beg God that He really does powerful things. God's not going to come along and take care of our every need and us not realize it's Him. He's not going to take care of our every little wish and want and then us think, well, aren't we something? But only when we beg God does He come and His power work to completion. And because of that, we can thank God for our weaknesses, for our trials. There are some times when I struggle, and I have a statement that helps me. Part of it's scripture and part of it's scriptural truth. And so the first part I say to myself is, the Lord is my shepherd. And the last part, of course that's from Psalm 23, the last part I say is, and that is enough. The Lord is my shepherd, and that is enough. Because God is enough. And when we say God is enough, it doesn't mean He's a little. It doesn't mean He's barely enough. It means I can be content in my weakness because God's power is working. The Lord is my shepherd, and God is enough. That is enough. Think back in the Bible. In the Garden of Eden, wasn't the tree of life enough? When God had Noah build the ark, wasn't the ark enough? When Abraham had God's promise for children, but he had no children, for 10 years, wasn't God's promise enough? God was enough for Joseph when he was sold by his brothers. He was enough for Moses when he had to confront Pharaoh. He was enough for the Israelites when he gave them manna in the desert. God was enough for Gideon. Remember this story? Gideon has an army of 32,000 troops. God says that's too many. And God whittles down the Israelite troops to 300. And with 300, they go conquer a large army of Midianites. 300 was enough. God was enough when a boy named David killed Goliath. He was enough when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were in the furnace. He was enough when Daniel was helpless in the lion's den. When Esther dared to go unannounced before the king, God was enough. Can you relate to this one? He was enough when a rebellious and weak Jonah was drowning in the sea. Anyone feel poor? Like you don't have enough money? God was enough when a poor young virgin named Mary became pregnant with Jesus. He was enough when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane begging and weak. God was enough. He was enough when the apostles testified to the resurrection and faced torture and death. He was enough in our congregation when some have faced brain surgery, some have faced organ transplant surgery, open heart surgery, cancer, even times when we lost loved ones. Wasn't God enough? God was enough when members of our church family have come forward confessing struggles with alcohol addiction, gambling addictions, prescription drug addictions, sexual infidelity, depression, bipolar, struggles with faith, marriages in crisis. God was enough, right? When we look in the Bible from cover to cover, do we see strong and powerful people who got their act together and they were just strong and able and capable? Don't we read about weak people? People in weakness, in struggles, feeling like they weren't enough, but they turned to God and found that He was more than enough. And that's why we can be thankful in our weaknesses. I want to encourage you to rethink your struggles. Rethink your trials. You're not the only one in this room that has things in their life that aren't the way they wished it was. You're not the only one in this room that your life didn't turn out the way you wanted it to. You're not the only one in this room that has a continual thorn in the flesh of some kind. You may look around and say, God, I tell you, I'm glad you blessed all these other people, but boy, I sure wish I had what so-and-so has. You're not the only one that has something that's really hard And God says, good. Because then you'll beg me. And you'll see me. And you'll know how much you need me. And I'll be enough. And I find great comfort in that. And so let us, you know, today leave knowing we have all the typical things that we're thankful to God for. And we should be. But let's add to the list. God, I thank you for all the good that just feels good. And God, I thank you for the bad, for the stuff that doesn't feel good, but I understand how good it is. This morning we're going to sing a song of encouragement. And if there's something heavy on your heart, we'd love to stop and pray with you about it. There may be a struggle that you want us to pray with you about. There may be one here this morning who you've not given your life to Christ. You've never submitted and had the waters of baptism wash your sins away. And if there's one that has a need this morning, please come while we stand and sing.
Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemy triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemy triumph over me. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me.